kind of, does anybody know, there's this songwriter named Jeffrey Lewis.
He's from Wisconsin?
I think he's from New York City.
Okay.
A buddy of mine in college turned me on to him, and he does a lot of these kind of sort of really great tunes, kind of like in that vein, that keep going places, and you're just going, what the hell is this guy talking about? And I love that. And he had a really great song on a record called A Turn in the Dream Songs. And the song was called Krongu Green Sludge, or Green Slime, maybe. And it's like all about kind of like
primordial earth.
Yeah, the primordial ooze. And sort of like about how there's this corporation like pumping out green slime, and then it like turns into like humanity or something. And he does this just excellent job of taking these sort of like weird outsider kind of concepts and turning them into like a nice, I don't know, just kind of like getting to some like sentimental bit in there. And I always really, really liked that. And I was really happy with how that kind of tune turned out. Mm-hmm. That song I just played is sort of goofy, you know, where you kind of go through sort of, you know, I kind of kill myself in the song multiple times, which is really fun for Julie. But
I like the idea of, as opposed to being born again, being dead again.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of fun to go through all the different sort of like ways you can die and just kind of keep killing yourself. It's sort of fun, but sort of gets to this. I don't know. Anyway.
This particular song, it's, now did you write melody and lyric with that?
Yeah. I just kind of sat down and it pretty much all came out except for the very last bit where I turned into a frog.
Mm-hmm.
And this is... I'm like kind of the main songwriter for the Match Sellers, but I really have to say, Bill was talking about finding good criticism, somebody who will tell you if you suck, and I think that's like Julie.
That's my job.
Yeah. I mean, really, I think Julie is just incredibly instrumental to my songwriting, because I really have somebody who I can go to and like play the song for, and Julie's like, you know, it's a really good song, but it needs something else, you know? Like, it's not quite finished. You need to have something else in there.
Yeah.
And I think she came up with the idea of, like, you know, like, oh, you should be reincarnated or something.
Okay.
Did I? I don't remember that. I'll take credit.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of what Bill was talking about, like, having somebody to really, like, call you out if it's not as good as it should be or could be. You know,
you don't always listen to me, but
I guess
you gotta decide for yourself. Your songs.
Do you ever feel a little edgy when the truth comes out, like I do when Patty edits my songs?
I mean, yeah. Sometimes I just get mad and I'm like, no, you're totally wrong, okay. Julie. That song about the pigeon and dove is a good song.
It's a great song.
She was like, this.
I didn't like that one.
Julie hated that song.
I was wrong.
And like, I forced her to play it on stage one time, and it was just like, I mean, no one had heard it before, and it just was like dropping dynamite in this room that we were playing. I mean, people just went nuts.
Yeah.
And
we loved it. I mean, we've had this discussion about pigeons and doves, so it really resonated with us.
Yeah, now all the time I get like texts from people. This song is on our CD that you can purchase, the one I'm talking about. But... now I get texts and messages and emails all the time. People like pick birds and crap and stupid. I generally don't even want it, but I'm nice and I'm like, oh, thanks.
Okay.
Hey, they think about you. That's
no,
the, that's
I'm just kidding.
Important
yeah,
part.
I'm just
we
kidding.
All are lovable. This next question is going to be for everybody, and then we'll move on to Bill. But I would like to know, when you start out in your day. And, you know, you're a full-time musician. You're a full-time musician. You all are full-time musicians. I'm not. But the music is always rolling around in there, you know. And when hopefully we'll have time to devote to that. But throughout the course of your day, do you tell yourself, I have to write a song today?
No, I don't.
Have you ever attended a workshop for someone and said, you have to write a song today?
I'm going to say most of the time, no, I don't feel like I have to write a song, but if, I don't know, a lot of days I wake up and I'm just like, what the hell am I doing with my life? And if I write a song, I feel better. So I kind of try to encourage myself.
Sometimes you'll just say like, oh, I haven't written a song in a while. I just need to write some more songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes. I try not to be too like
regimented,
dogmatic about it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Regimented. You mentioned a word. Okay, so Bill, go ahead. I'm going to keep that thought.
When I was writing songs a lot, and I don't write a lot of songs now. I write a few a year. You know, if I'm lucky, I get 3 or 4 good ones a year. Mm-hmm. But when I was writing songs a lot, I didn't have to try to write songs at all. I just kept getting these ideas, and I was homeless. I had all the time in the world. I could just write songs, you know. And I did. I wrote several times. I'd write 2 or 3 in a day, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they weren't as good as I wanted them to be. But again, getting back to what you said, you know, you take that experience with you, even if you don't keep the song.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, I find myself saying, that's a great idea for a song.
Yeah.
And then I don't write it.
Yeah.
I get to work. Instead, I do get work on the computer or, you know, go mow the grass or whatever. But that if the idea comes back to me again a couple times, then I'll the next song I'm going to do, I'll tell about that a little bit. It's exactly the thing that happened.
Okay.
I feel like I owe it to the song. You know, I feel like I have an obligation to the song to write it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Atlanta?
Like as a fish begging to be caught.
There you go. There you go.
I really just don't try to force anything. Mm-hmm. I just let it come when it comes. I feel like if I try to force anything, I usually end up getting pretty frustrated with mm-hmm. what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't end up where I want it to be. Mm-hmm. Dylan and I have kind of talked about starting to write songs together, though. So we've kind of decided maybe we'll select a topic. We're going to see how it goes, mm-hmm. but wow. brainstorm on it for a week and kind of see where it takes us, probably after a couple days of having some thought into it. So we're going to test that, see if we can maybe get some. he's taken a big interest in songwriting, so writing together is kind of something we're looking forward to. But generally, for the stuff that we've already recorded. I just kind of let it come when it comes, and mm-hmm. I just don't force anything. So
okay.
Yeah.
And that's natural.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I have set in, from a distance, from some workshops. I've never paid to go to one, but I have covered them, you know, for One Eye Valley and places like that. I do write. I'm a music journalist. And I have seen structure, and I have seen people teach songwriting workshops from the standpoint that they're songwriters. They want to help you build a song, and that's perfectly fine. Where you start is up to the person that's telling you that. And so we have Kerrville, for example. Patty and I did a house concerts for a while, and we would catch a lot of Kerrville songwriters coming through. I could see a similarity in a lot of the music. And I think it's because of what they're being taught about. You know, if you want to write a song, hear something you love, make it your own. And I used to think, no, don't do that. You can get in trouble for it. You know, you can get sued for it. Well, you know what? I found out it doesn't matter. Yeah. Now, if you want to take the risk, take somebody's tune and try to change it up enough. But if let's say if you were to rewrite Puff the Magic Dragon, you're going to court. I mean, Pete, you know, that family is a very lovely, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Peter, Yor, very lovely, friendly family, but their attorneys are making money, and they're going to make sure they make money. You know, so the creative spark is in you. It's in everybody. It may not be songwriting. It may be something totally different. It may be art and songwriting like John Griffin does. You know, it may be training your dog. It may be training me. You know what I'm saying? If you don't force yourself, if you let it flow, then you're going to be happier, a lot happier than if you make yourself. If you just wake up and say, I'm going to go to this workshop, I'm going to pay $800, I'm going to sit in this circle, and I'm going to learn how to write a song. And, you know, and someone says, hey, that sounds just like Mary Had a Little Lamb. Oh, okay. Chances are you're going to write a song later that does sound exactly like something else somebody wrote, and it will be totally incidental.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I find that a lot, too, with a lot of my tunes. And that's also one reason why I think it's really important in songwriting to learn other tunes, like learn to play songs that are good, you know, to kind of, I'm not to totally rip it off, but to, you know,
just find out what's good about it.
Yeah,
find train out yourself on what's good, right?
Yeah.
And the more music you listen to, the more apt it is for that to happen.
And that's another thing I just wanted to say. I think it's important too, like what you listen to. I think we live in like a time and an era where you could listen to like anything forever, eternally. But I think, at least I feel like, you know, I only have a set amount of time to devote to listening. And so I really want to pick things that I think are really good and listen to them over and over and over again to kind of unlock those secrets. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. And Bill, it's your turn to sing too.
Oh, okay. Can I plug my festival?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay, I have a festival coming up in 3 weeks called the Moccasin Creek Festival. I book it myself, but since you're here for the Story Songs Showcase, I will tell you we have a number of excellent songwriters coming to the festival. We have Daryl Scott, John Fulbright.
Yeah.
We have Slade Cleaves. We have the Steel Wheels, Chicago Farmer, Edward David Anderson.
Yeah.
We got the Way Down Wanderers and on and on. Violet and the Undercurrents. So if you like that kind of stuff, I'd love to talk to you about it. Little cards, but we have an ad in the program, so you can check it out right there in the program. Website's in there and everything. So.
Bill is also one of our MCs now, going on 3 years, so you'll see Bill all around the stages doing that. And thank you for doing that.
Thanks for having me back. This is year four, I think.
Year four, wow.
I think.
Where'd that go, man?
So I'm going to write sing a song that I wrote, the most recent song that I've written, actually. It's also not on one of my CDs, which I do have for sale. But this is one of those situations where I woke up, I made coffee, I did all the things you do in the morning, and I sat at my desk and I realized I didn't have any pressing work to do. And I thought, you know what? No one's awake. No one's home. I'm just going to write a song. And so I looked out the window, and it was December. I looked out the window, and there's a big tree there, and it didn't have any leaves on it. And it was cold outside and kind of gray. And I wrote this song. And it's reflects the idea that I was going through my head a lot at that time, which was, I'm getting married in 3 weeks at the festival. And I was thinking about my last marriage, my previous marriage, and I was thinking where it went wrong and what I did wrong and how it could be better, you know, and what I needed to do to make this marriage successful. And I decided that not being really super obstinate would be a good idea. So the song I wrote about that.